This is The Hollywood Outsider, a weekly movie and TV podcast with a new episode available each week at thehollywoodoutsider.com. We're also on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or your podcast app of choice. My name is Aaron Peterson. I'm going to be your host for this special episode of The Hollywood Outsider. As our loyal listeners know, every once in a while, we like to bring interviews with independent filmmakers to give you insight into both what goes into getting their films made, as well as insight into the respective film itself. Now, this time we're talking with Harris Duran, who's a filmmaker who just made a film called Beauty Mark. It's starting to release at film festivals. Can't tell you exactly when it's going to come to your town or be available in your area. But what I can tell you is that this is a very powerful piece. It revolves around a young woman named Angie, played by Auden Thornton. And Angie is someone whose life has taken a turn. She is struggling. She has a young son who she kind of takes care of. She has a mother who she also kind of takes care of. But she also has a lot of flaws. She is a very flawed human being. She is struggling with life like many of us do. And there comes a point where her home is condemned because of black mold and other things. And she has to find somewhere else to live. Unfortunately, she has a very menial job. She doesn't bring in a lot of money. She doesn't have the income to just pick up and move to another place. She needs $1,700 to relocate. After trying every option she can, some very desperate measures, she decides to go to the one person that she thinks she can exploit or even threaten the money from. And that man is Bruce, played by Jeff Kober. The reason why she thinks she can get the money from Bruce is because he molested her as a child. Now, it's a real polarizing topic because you're talking about sexual abuse. And you're also talking about a character who is basically using what happened to her to benefit her at a later point in her life. She's also going back and talking to previous victims and trying to shore up support to get this money from him. It's a really hard take on the topic, I'll be perfectly honest, because it's a very honest take on it. It's a look at desperate people doing desperate things because of horrible things that have happened to them in their past. And it also takes an interesting look not only at Angie and her mother, who obviously is tormented psychologically in her own way, but also at Bruce, a sexual predator who maybe doesn't even realize he's a sexual predator. It's an interesting way to look at the character because I do feel like it's deeper and more honest than a lot of films in this area ever are. I feel like it's typically played for Oscar bait, and I think it's dealt with in a very real and honest way in Beauty Mark. Whenever the film comes your way, please check it out. It is a very powerful film. It has some wonderful performances. Auden Thornton is just a revelation. I look forward to great things in her career. Catherine Curtin, who plays her mom, Ruth Ann, she is very just real and feels so vivid in her performance. It's just heartbreaking. And Jeff Kober is a guy I've followed for many, many years. He's a character actor who has great talent and unfortunately always gets sidelined, it feels like, in bad guy roles. But he's a very talented actor, and here he gets the shine and really puts humanity on the face of a monster. And that's a hard thing to do, and he does it very well. I think you guys are going to enjoy this, and I don't mean enjoy in the way that it's a fun, zippy kind of, you know, thriller or anything. It's a very powerful, dramatic piece. I think you're going to enjoy it. Harris stops by to talk about the film, getting the film made, and why it's so important to him to make a film like this and get this message out, and what he hopes to accomplish by making and releasing a film like Beauty Mark. Without further ado, I want to get you right into the interview because Harris is a great guy to talk to. Here's my exclusive interview with Beauty Mark director Harris Duran. Hey Harris, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Excellent. I just watched your movie and wow, that's an impressive piece.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
The first thing I ask anybody that I talk to is, when did you know you wanted to be a filmmaker? Was there a moment when it just struck you?
No. So there was, I've always been a storyteller. I was a professional actor for many, many years, and I wanted to be an actor since like the fourth grade. And I've also always written since I was a child. And so it was more of a natural evolution. I live in New York and I'm from New York, and I was very involved in theater. I was writing for theater as well as acting. And then when my acting career started doing more independent film, I started writing it and then decided to make film. It was more of like a natural evolution.
Really? So you kind of just fell into the directing portion of it. So did you always want to be an actor?
Yeah. I mean, I wanted to be an actor since fourth grade. So, and it was something that I pursued strongly. I mean, I went to Juilliard as an actor, and I wouldn't say I necessarily fell into directing because I teach acting and I coach actors, and I've taught acting for many, many years. So So it was sort of a culmination of like many things that I've done throughout my life to start making film, if that makes sense.
No, it does. And a lot of directors will say that if you were an actor, it makes it easier or more accessible to teach other actors or direct other actors. Did you feel that?
Absolutely. I mean, there's a language that you have and a respect and a freedom that you give to actors that I think is really unique, you know, and especially in terms of this piece, which is so psychologically difficult to be able to, you know, spend the time with my lead actors. I mean, we worked for a couple weeks in New York before heading out to film in Louisville. And I was able to spend the time actually analyzing the text and talking through and what it meant, what the subtext was, what the psychological history of those each moment was, to where once we were on set, there was, you know, very little to talk about unless something was really sort of off the mark. Otherwise, I could just allow them to have the freedom to interpret what we had spoken about as they felt, you know, and as you can see, there are very free performances in the film.
So Beauty Mark is a completely different take on a very brutal topic, sexual abuse. And it kind of honestly takes a hard look at the victims as well as the accuser in a way. What was it about this story that you felt needed to be told?
So the story is inspired by true events that happened to one of the film's producers. And, you know, I felt like this is, you know, when she was telling me her story, it was something that I was acutely aware of, the fact that you don't hear about it much, that people don't want to talk about this. And the more I learned about it statistically, the more you realize how it is everywhere, and that people don't talk about it is the very thing that is keeping it happening everywhere, because, you know, anything that happens in silence and darkness continues. And so it felt like it was really important to shed a light on it, and in a different way, in a way that wasn't going to be easy and wasn't going to be an after school special and wasn't going to, you know, be like overly sentimental or overly
judgmental. It's not judgmental at all.
Judgmental. Yeah. Yeah. Of where, like, you know, I think that, you know, also like overly sympathetic to your protagonist also is a judgment, instead of saying like, this is a real person who has, there are so many things going on with Angie, the lead, on so many dynamics and so many levels, you know, and to be able to show all of those things and to be able to show a person who is in this crazy position where they have no support from the government, from society, from her family, you know, where she really is truly on her own and there is no safety net. And what do you do? And in that position, you don't have a lot of, you know, great, wonderful choices to choose between. You have a bunch of terrible choices to choose between. And that's a reality for many people, even though people don't necessarily want to look at that or acknowledge that. But that's the reality of, like, you know, systemic poverty in our society and its relationship to abuse. It's a huge problem that you really don't see in films, you know, like the abuse aside, you know, the actual systemic poverty in our society and how that actually affects every single aspect of your life, your relationships and your psychology is something that I feel I rarely see in films in a way that truly like looks at the complexity of it and how insidious it is in every single area of your life.
Well, I think, and people don't always want to talk about it, as you said, you know, as the movie points out, but we're all affected, or we know somebody that was affected by sexual abuse, or I think most of us are. So what kind of research do you do to get into Angie's psyche and her plight and where you wanted this story to go?
So I did a lot of research, you know, not just from the producer who was inspired by, but I was in touch with Family and Children's Place, which is a local Louisville organization who works to stop and prevent child abuse. And we are actually donating a portion of the proceeds from the film to them.
Oh, wow.
And so they helped, they helped me with research, as well as an organization called WINGS, which very specifically works with adult survivors of child sexual abuse, which is what the film is about. Mm-hmm. What happens to, you know, adult survivors, which is most people, is it never got spoken about as a child. It never got dealt with. And then, you know, often it's completely suppressed, so you don't even remember that it happened. And so by the time you like are in therapy or, you know, are old enough to sort of remember or realize it, what happens is, as happens in the movie, you're past the statute of limitations. So like the laws in this country don't protect people. So you have within 5 years of the incident or within 5 years of turning 18. And so the protagonist is 24. She's 1 year past that. And yeah, so Wings, which deals with adult survivors of child sexual abuse, is for that very reason, because people's attitude is mostly like, oh, that happened so long ago, get over it. Why are you still thinking about this? Or like, why is this still affecting you? Mm-hmm. You know, and that is a really, it's not just insensitive, it's, you know, really not like ignoring reality.
It's almost, yeah. It's honestly a little ignorant.
Exactly.
That's one thing that I did appreciate about your movie. It's the biggest thing, honestly, that I appreciated, is that Angie isn't a character. You know, I think when you talk to people, people that haven't experienced it, or haven't had a close relationship with someone that has experienced it, they don't seem to understand that a lot of people never talk about it. Most people never talk about it. They don't want to talk about it. They either bury it, or they move on, or they try to, you know, they just try to get on with their lives. And here you have a character who's struggling. And the only reason she doesn't want to confront it, she doesn't want to deal with anybody. And the only reason she does is she has to, for her own livelihood, for her son's livelihood. So as you're working through the script and you have this character, Angie, who can be a difficult character to root for at times.
And that's on purpose.
Well, yeah, absolutely. She's a real person.
What? Yeah.
Was there ever an attempt to soften your take on her, or was it very important to illustrate those flaws?
No, that was actually one of the, at the outset when I started on the script, I very specifically wanted to like show a person who, you know, a person like that is trapped in their own mind. So that's not, you know, it's for them a really difficult life to live just internally. And so I wanted to show a real person like that who has not great options, and so is going to have to make choices that the audience disagrees with, you know, and judges and says, why are they choosing this option? Why is she going for money? You know, that's morally is not what you think a person should do. But then the question for the audience is, well, what should she do? Mm-hmm. Right? What is the better option? And she tries a lot of things in the film, but there are no options. She has no support from society. She has no support from the government, from her family, you know, and that's reality. And so you basically have a bunch of bad choices, and which one do you take? You know, and her main goal is the survival of her family, of her son. And so, you know, the morality of any one specific choice is secondary to, you know, the end goal of survival of family.
There's even a few survivors that are judgmental.
Totally. Yeah, why are you doing this? But what should you do? What are the better options, you know, in that moment? So no, I never tried to actually soften her, because I wanted this character to be making real life choices. And so I knew that, you know, the audience would disagree with those choices, and, you know, and characters in the film disagree with those choices, you know?
Mm-hmm. How did you come across Auden Thornton? Cause she's fantastic.
She's unbelievable. So Henry Russell Bernstein is my casting director. And, you know, I felt like this film needed a very specific performance. And I felt like very few actresses would be able to deliver what I felt like the film truly needed. And so in terms of, you know, when you're putting a film together, you want like, oh, let me get a big star in here, because then, you know, it makes the thing easier. But in terms of what this performance was, you know, I thought that there were very few actresses that I was aware of that were like even very famous that would deliver the performance that Auden delivers. And so I worked with Henry Russell Bergstein, and he put together a list of some actresses that he thought could do it, ranging from famous to completely unknown. And I, having been an actor, I don't love auditions. I don't love making people audition, even though you have to, there's no way around it. But I feel like, you know, if someone has done work, you can look at their work and you can get a good sense of what, you know, they're capable of, especially since I like teach actors and I am an actor. So I can watch someone and get a sense of what their range is. So he sent me a list of 30 women, And I narrowed it down from just watching footage of each one of them online to four. And then I basically said, I want to have meetings with these four. I don't want it to be an audition. I want it to be sort of a chat slash work session. So it'll be like 45 minutes long. You know, it'll be like at a table instead of like, you know, a chair in the middle of a room. Mm-hmm. And so I said, you know, I actually spend a long time memorizing auditions, which to me is a big waste of time. And so I said, please tell them, do not memorize this. I want them to spend that time reading the entire script because I want to talk about the whole script with them. And we'll be looking at these two scenes. You can let them know. And so that's what I did. And I met with these actresses for, you know, 45 minutes to an hour and really got to know them and really got to talk about the script. And, you know, when we finally got to doing the two scenes at the end of that session, she was so phenomenal that I was like, oh my God, like there is not going to be a better actress than this. Like that's just not going to be possible. And I literally called my producers and I was like, we found her, cancel the rest of the auditions. And they were like, you can't do that. But it was just very, very clear to me that how special she was. And, you know, on top of it, you wouldn't meet a nicer or more modest person. Mm-hmm. And so she was the hardest worker. She's such a pleasure. You know, she's a dream. She's a dream for a director.
Oh, she has a scene with Jeff Kober as Bruce. I don't want to spoil it because I don't want to ruin it for anyone who hasn't seen it. But it's a scene where they're together and it's a very uncomfortable amount of time that they're together and there's no talking. And they are both phenomenal in that scene.
Jeff Kober also is amazing. You know, for that role, I had a really specific idea of what I wanted. And I basically, you know, Jeff is an amazing actor. And I thought that he would, you know, do something great in the role because he can do anything. Mm-hmm. And he's just that kind of transformational actor. And he was very hesitant about doing it until we spoke and I told him my concept on it, which was, you know, I wanted it to be, you know, from his perspective, an act of love, not something that's like, oh, I'm the creepy guy, but really, you know, from his perspective that he is protecting her, that he is coming from this other place and that from inside of him, he doesn't think he's a monster, you know, mm-hmm. And then also that he's somewhere on like the spectrum, you know, like Asperger's. And I kind of gave him like all of these pieces and he showed up on set with this fully formed character that, you know, I did not have to walk him through at all. It was just based on our conversations. And I was like, I can't believe this. It was so amazing. You know, he's, and then again, the nicest person in the world. I was, you know, very lucky to have. I think that's what you get when you have these incredibly open, amazing actors. They tend to be like really sort of genuine, nice people, you know?
Yeah,
he's like a meditation guru.
Yeah, he really surprised me. I've known his. I mean, he's an actor. He's been around forever. I remember seeing him in Out of Bounds with Anthony Michael Hall as in the 80s. If you remember that movie,
And his
range. I kind of when I knew what his role was going to be, that he's going to be the monster. I'm like, well, I figure he'll probably play it similar to because he's been a lot of bad guys in his career. And he did not. He did the complete opposite, which normally is not the way this role would be. And I really appreciate it. He did a great job, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I also felt like if that role wasn't played the way he played it, I thought the movie would completely falter. Mm-hmm. And so that was a really hard role to cast because I was like, who can do this? This sort of like extreme sincerity, you know, and authenticity and not turn it into like anything dark almost at any point, you know, that he had his own really complex world going on inside that we don't agree with or comprehend. But it's, you know, I wanted like the psychology of the character to be something really not what you would think, which makes it worse. It makes it worse for Angie that it's like, it would be much easier if he was this really horrible, mean person mm-hmm. who was doing these like really horrible things. That would be a lot easier. But it becomes worse when you sort of, she can't grasp onto his deep thinking, like he can't even see reality, you know? And that is, to me, worse.
Absolutely. And she's surrounded. I mean, everybody that should support her is just awful, and her mom is not great. I mean, nobody really is there for her in any way, shape, or form.
Exactly. You know? Yeah, and that's, you know, real life for a lot of people.
It is. So what do you hope audiences take away from your movie?
You know, I hope a bunch of things. I mean, one is, you know, to get people to talk about abuse so that it's the actual talking about it is not so stigmatized, so people can get help. And also by allowing society to talk about it, it will happen less. You know, people being aware of the statute of limitation laws, the fact that you can do nothing about it after 5 years of turning 18 when you're still too young to even process anything, mm-hmm. you know, and that those laws need to be changed. You know, the film is also about, for me, about, you know, like cyclical cycles of family psychology that are handed down generationally, and this idea of like, can you break sort of like the caste that you have been born into? You know, and I think that Angie struggles with that, and she perhaps under different circumstances would not have confronted it. But this, can you grow? Can you stretch outside of yourself? Can you, you know, stretch outside of like the circumstances you've been born into, like your own financial situation, but also like your own, the psychology that your parents have given you and how you understand the world. And does that in itself trap you, you know, and that, you know, you see, like, yes, the thing that we talk about is the child's sexual abuse, but then the film confronts, like, emotional abuse. It also confronts, you know, with her son, neglect. You know, there's a boy that is being neglected. If no one steps in, you know, is going to grow up to have a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. You know, and that is the thing that Catherine Curtin, who plays the mother, I think realizes, like, she has been a terrible mother to her daughter, but I think that she thinks that she has done the best that she could and probably has in her own way, but that she sees outside of herself and she sees her grandson and that maybe she can do better with him, you know?
Absolutely. It's a harrowing tale, but it's really important. I think it's one of those movies where you don't want to call a movie important all the time, because then I think people, they instantly go, yeah, you know, but it's a good movie.
I agree with that. I agree. Yeah. You know, for me, like I'm most interested in, you know, this type of conversation more than, oh, that's a great movie. Mm-hmm. You know, like I want the film to have use and purpose, and that like people talk about these things, because then I think that that makes the world better in some way, that, you know, we can discuss things, that we can talk about things, and we can analyze things, you know, and not just walk through life and be basically like, you know, caged and oppressed by like our own lack of communication, you know, or lack of confronting what's going on.
You also, it does a good thing in illustrating for everyone, I think, that, you know, we can, as people, we're all judgmental. You know, if you go to the gas station and you see somebody acting a certain way like she does at the beginning, you have a judgment in your mind of what kind of person this person is. And
totally.
You illustrate a much deeper portrait as to, you know, you think you know somebody, but you don't know their life and what they've been through.
Yeah. 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 What they're going through, what they've been through with. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Angie's someone, if you saw her on the street, you would just walk by her and judge her and write her off. It'd be about 2 seconds, mm-hmm. you know? And then, yeah, you take a deep dive into a human being and you find, like, all of this stuff. I mean, what stops a person from truly living? And it's just, there's so many things. And, you know, the obvious thing in this movie is, like, what happened to her, like, abuse-wise. But, you know, as you saw in the movie, like, there are so many things adding up to her inability to live. I mean, you know, the movie pretty quickly starts out, you know, with her needing to like deal with a situation. So we don't get to spend a whole lot of time with her before that. But, you know, to me, like Angie before the movie starts, you know, is basically just doing her day to day, doing the very minimum that she needs to just continue, you know, and that these crazy circumstances actually like force her to become alive and deal with things.
Just so well done. I know I got to let you go. I know your film is currently traveling the festival circuits. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. We can't announce most of them, but the only one that we can announce is, so we filmed in Louisville. And so we're very excited that we're having our Louisville premiere July 28th at the Flyover Film Festival at 7 PM. We're the closing night film. And so that's really exciting for us and for the whole town, because so many people were involved there. and we have a huge theater, and we're going to pack it with Louisville people. So I'm really excited.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, I want to wish you the best on the film and as it releases, and I hope you get all the accolades you guys deserve. Everybody did a great job.
Thank you so much.
Take care, Harris, and best of luck on the release.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
There you go, guys. That was my exclusive interview with director Harris Duran. Now, again, the film is called Beauty Mark. You can find out more about the film as it releases at facebook.com/beautymarkfilm. Also on Twitter, Film Beauty Mark. That's Film Beauty Mark. I don't often tout things too much, but I am touting this one a lot. I think you guys should definitely find it as soon as it's available. It's a very powerful film, honest film, and hopefully it will get people talking about a really complicated and difficult topic that too many people just don't talk about. Please check it out, Beauty Mark. Once again, thank you for listening to the Hollywood Outsider Podcast. We try to bring in these interviews with filmmakers like Harris Duran in the world of independent cinema whenever we can. So I really hope you enjoyed this one. Remember to subscribe and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcast app of choice. Our normal show has a new episode every single week and is available at thehollywoodoutsider.com. This is Aaron Peterson, reminding you that the next time you head into the theater to see Beauty Mark, buy popcorn.